Good morning again. My prayer for all of us, and especially for myself, is that this morning, God would, through His Holy Spirit, take His word and impress upon our hearts. Maybe He has something a little bit new or a little bit more refreshing to teach us. Perhaps it's a reminder. Perhaps it is a warning. Perhaps it's an affirmation. Part of the reason why I say that before we pray and read the scripture is because if you have not already done so, I want to encourage you, you know, sometime after the service today, maybe on your way, you know, going out or leaving the church, kind of stop around on, what direction is that, east end? You know, well, that side of the church, there are roses in bloom. You know, this morning when I parked my car, you know, on the other side of Massachusetts Avenue, I could see, you know, roses in full blooms. We want to thank, trustees committee and everyone who has helped to, you know, spruce up the lawn. Have you noticed that is a huge, huge difference? And also, you know, transplanting, all the rose bushes. So they're doing great. So a word of appreciation to all those who have helped. But also, you know, I just felt that, you know, when I was looking at that and God was telling me that, you know, look at it. The glory of God is everywhere. If you have eyes to see and if you have hearts to perceive. So with that, let's pray. Father God, as we read your word together, we pray that all of us, especially the speaker, would be the student. Speak, O Lord, in your stillness and cause us to never miss what you want us to hear. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I was talking too much today. Can someone get me a cup of water? Yeah, thanks, appreciate it. Thank you, Linda. Let's read the word of God together. This is taken from Exodus chapter 21. These are the laws you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, join me. He is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and the children shall belong to her husband, and only the man shall go free. But if the servant declares, this is the word of God, and may God bless the reading, listening, and the doing of his word. For our communion meditation this morning, I'd like to share with you this very passage. I have to tell you that, you know, I have no idea that this passage was in the scripture, in the Bible. This is one of my favorite passages in scriptures because, you know, it paints a very vivid picture. I actually had no idea that, you know, this was in the Old Testament until one day I heard someone share a song. And I loved the song and the lyrics so much that I started, you know, learning that song. And very soon I discovered that, you know, that song actually came from this passage that we just read together. The title of that song is Pierce My Ear. The Chinese translation is only that, a translation. I don't know how many of us know this song. Anyone? One, two, maybe three. Aaron? No? It is a great song. And here, this is how it goes. Pierce my ear, O Lord my God. Take me to your door this day, for I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay. For you have paid a price for me. With your blood, you ransomed me. Now I will serve you eternally. A free man I'll never be. This song came from obviously Exodus chapter 21. But you would also find a similar exhortation in Deuteronomy chapter 15. It helps to understand a little bit of the background leading up to Exodus chapter 21. Perhaps you know that you know in chapter 19 of Exodus, Moses talked about the preparation he and Aaron were busily, you know, doing before Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. So the entire chapter 19 was about preparation. And then chapter 20 is about the receiving and the stating of the Ten Commandments. And after that, starting with chapter 21 and the following chapters, Moses talked about a set of rules, instructions, or principles, guidelines, decreed by God. And specifically, verses 1 through 6 started off with certain restrictions or instructions about owning a Hebrew male slave. It is important and it is good for us to understand a little bit of the background of this passage, particularly the timeline. This was an unusual time, chapter 19, 20, and 21. It was an unusual time in the history of the nation of Israel. It was enjoying a brand new beginning. They had just come out of the land of Egypt as slaves. All of them, young and old, men and women, were slaves. And they had just begun their journey through the desert in the direction of the promised land that God had given to them. A new nation was born. Because not just long ago, all the people, you know, in the nation of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. But now, all of a sudden, everyone was free. Everyone was equal. And at that time, there is something different about this new nation, the nation of Israel, or the people of God, another term to call them by. At that time, you know, countries such as Egypt, Moab, or the Philistines and the Ammonites, the Jebusites, and all other nations, they were different from Israel. Why? Because they have their own pharaohs, they have their own rulers, they have their own kings. However, as far as Israel was concerned, she had no human king, and she didn't need one. God and God alone was her king. But how do you tell the difference between a people whose king is God and a people, a nation, whose king was a human being? So God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. If you are to be known as my people, the people of God, a spiritual people, you would live by my instructions. But the Ten Commandments were just a beginning. So starting with chapter 21 and then 22 and so on, God gave Moses additional instructions and, you know, to the people of Israel that if you are going to be known as a people of God, a nation, a people that is different from, say, you know, Egypt, Moab, and any other nations, then you are going to order your lives with the rules that I've given to you. Relationship is very, very important to God. So the first example has to do with the relationship between a master and the Hebrew male slave. And by the way, you know, they observe the laws and instructions God has given to them. To that extent, they will be known as the people whose king is not a human being, but Jehovah himself. We also need to understand that slavery was a big thing, you know, back in those days. It was already part of the culture everywhere. And it is only a matter of time that, you know, it would become an everyday occurrence in Israel. Even though right now, everyone in Israel was a free man and free woman. Because in Israel, one can become a slave in one of two ways. He could either sell himself to get out of debt, 2 Kings chapter 4, or he could be sold by his parents because of financial hardship, Nehemiah chapter 5. But in the event that you unfortunately became a slave, God told Moses to make sure that no one could own a Hebrew male slave for more than 6 years' time. And this was unheard of something brand new compared to other nations. If the slave had a wife and children before he became a slave, then at the end of 6 years, when he leaves, his wife and children will live with him. But however, if he became a slave when he was still single, and his master was kind to him, and then his master chose for him a wife, and they had children together, at the end of 6 years, when he leaves, his wife and his children cannot live with him. They are considered to be the personal property or possessions of the master. But now at the end of 6 years of service, when the slave would be set free, he has two choices. One, in verse 2, was to take his leave and be a free man, totally free. He no longer has to work for anyone except for himself. Or he has a second choice in verses 5 and 6. That was to decide to become a slave permanently. We might think that freedom is always the best option, the best decision. However, here the slave had a choice, either go free or be considered as a permanent slave for the rest of his life. Now, why would someone in his right mind pass up freedom and commit to staying with his master forever? The answer is simple, because of love. During those 6 years of interaction between the master and this slave, the master has been respectful of the slave, had been considerate, loving, merciful, and understanding towards the slave. And the slave, over the period of 6 years, experienced that, appreciated it, and knew that his master was a good master. So in response, he knew that at the end of 6 years, the best decision for him would be to stay with the master permanently, for no one would take care of him the way his master had taken care of him. And we can see from these six verses that, you know, if the slave chooses to become a servant, a slave permanently, the master would take an oar and pierce the ear of the slave to signify that this was a permanent slave for their master. It is a very sharp instrument, and usually you use it to punch holes in leather belts or canvases. But this was an instrument that they used, you know, to punch a hole in your earlobe so that a ring or some kind of object could be inserted in there, marking you as a permanent slave for that particular master. A lot of Bible teachers have written about, you know, the process of having your ears pierced by such a blunt or, you know, big instrument. It is a very painful process. The pain was intensified, and sometimes you could die because of infection. But however, because the slave understood, appreciated, and loved his master so much that, you know, he was willing to endure all the difficulty, because he knew that once his ears had been pierced, he could say this much. I love my master. I will not go out free. I am his forever, and he's my master forever. Choosing to be a slave of a free man can be very, very challenging to us believers today. Why? In our culture, we prize freedom above everything else. We like our personal privacy. We might even sometimes take the freedom we have for granted. But you know that when you decide to follow Jesus Christ, we are also considered to be slaves. The Bible tells us that every human being is a slave to one of two things. We are either a slave to sin, or we are a slave to righteousness. Paul says this very clearly in Romans chapter 6. Verse 16, he says that, you know, even though you used to be slaves to sins, you were slaveries in sins. And then in 18, he said that, you know, now you have become slaves to righteousness. It is a good thing. So every human being has a choice. We can either become a slave to righteousness or a slave to sin. looking back on the psalm, pierce my ear. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God, and I'm here to stay. I won't read the whole two verses. When one makes the choice to follow Jesus Christ, we are no longer slaves of sins. We are slaves to the Son of God. We are slaves to his commandments. We are slaves to his instructions. We are slaves to righteousness. So the question today, as we approach the table of God, is, do you have your ear pierced? Do you want to have your ear pierced, symbolically speaking? And who are you a slave to? If you are a believer, what did it mean to you when you were baptized? You remember the time when you were baptized? Maybe just recently, maybe some time ago. How did you feel? Who was Jesus to you then? But if you're thinking about becoming a believer, think carefully about what you are committing yourself to when you confess your faith in Jesus Christ. It can be a very dangerous thing because it is going to cost you your entire life. Is it all about what you can get out of it, or what you owe your Father in heaven in return for the most precious gifts of life eternal he has given to you? Are we thankful for what God has done for us? Do we consider what our Master provides for us day by day? Who listens and cares for us more than anyone else in the world? Is being a Christian something that will only remain important as long as it fits into our schedule and plan in life? And how do we respond to the things God asks us to do? These are the questions that we as Christians, as followers of Christ, need to ask ourselves from time to time. You don't notice that even though we put a lot of emphasis on worship, on coming together, on acknowledging God and lifting him up, every book in the Bible has something to say, and sometimes a lot, about worship. But notice that in Psalms chapter 40, the psalmist actually tells us that important as worship, praising God, you know, going to church maybe, but something else is more important. This is his honest confession, and he knows the priority. Psalms chapter 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering, God, you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Not just one ear. Exodus chapter 21 talks about piercing of one ear. It is a singular word, But here in Psalms chapter 40, verse 6, it talks about both ears being pierced. Double determination, double confession. Burnt offerings and sins offering, God, you did not require. What does God require of us? Just to confess that Jesus is Lord and know that we have our name written in the book of life? Or does God say that is a beginning, that is a starting point, but I want your heart. I want you to be my bondservant. I want you to be my slave, and not just my slave, my servant and my slave forever, for the rest of your life. Is that okay with you? And you notice that it is exactly the same standard and the same question asked of New Testament believers. If you flip to, you know, the first page of any of the New Testament books, frequently you come across this address. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, it says, a bondservant of Christ Jesus. But you can actually substitute, you know, the slave in Exodus chapter 21, the Hebrew word. You can actually put that here. Paul, Exodus 21, Hebrew word for slaves of Christ Jesus. Paul, a bondservant. Paul, a permanent slave of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:1, Paul, and this time joined by Timothy, bondservants, permanent slaves of Christ Jesus. And talking about other believers, Paul's teammates, Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, that is the term again, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord. James 1:1. James, and this is the brother of Jesus Christ, a bondservant, a permanent slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, his brother. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, who was the leader of the apostles, here confessed and humbly acknowledges that he too was a permanent slave, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude, a permanent slave of Jesus Christ. All of them, as long as you are a believer, without exception, whether you are an apostle or you are not an apostle, all of them know that the most important identity for believers is that we are bond servants, that we are permanent slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to return your attention to Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Notice that when Paul was talking about Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bond servant, he kind of makes a slight distinction between servants and faithful servants. There is something instructive for all of us here in this verse. What it tells me is that I can be serving. I can be doing a lot of church work. I can be very busy in ministry. I can be using all my gifts that God has given to me. But if I'm not a bond servant, I may just be doing things for God. I may just be serving him and I'm not his servant at all. You can be doing a lot of church work. You can do a lot of run around. You can give a lot to the church. You can help a lot of other people. You can read the Bible, you know, from chapter to chapter. But God says that you can do all those kind of things and I want you to do all those kind of things. But if you are not my servant, there is a difference. And there is also a difference between servants and bond servants. I may want to say to God that, God, I'm willing to do all these things for you. If you give me grace, I'm willing to be your servant. But God would ask me a second question. Are you willing to be more than just my servant? Are you willing to be my permanent slave? Permanent slave. That is a tall order. But this is what Jesus asks of us to carefully consider when we say that we want to know him, we want to worship him, and we want to serve him. God doesn't need people to do his stuff, although he enjoys that. But God wants people who are his bondservant, his permanent slaves, to do all those kind of things that he wants to accomplish. That is what he's looking for in every believer, every church. You know, our church, I hope that our church would never become too popular, you know, for our own sake. But I hope that if there is something to be known about the Chinese Community Church or a fellowship or a Bible study group, it is because people look at them and said there is something different about them. Like in the Old Testament, I know people from, you know, the tribe of Moab. I know the Jebusites people. I know the Egyptians. But these people from Israel, they call themselves the people of God. And other people call themselves with the same name, same term. I know them too. There's just something different about them. It is because they knew they were the bond servants. They were the permanent slaves of the living God. And maybe in some sense, it can be, and I hope it will be, set off, you know, our church that, you know, our church is one of probably over 800 registered religious organizations just in the city of D.C. alone. But our church is somewhat different because our church is a church who is committed to be permanent slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the way they love one another. Look at the way they rely on God and come seeking His face. Look at the way they forgive. Look at the way they listen to one another and bear one another's burden. Look at the way they just, you know, come together. Look at the way they proclaim the gospel. Look at the way how they sacrificially give, just so that Jesus may be proclaimed. I hope that, you know, something like that can be said of our church, because that is what God is looking for. If the church is famous because of that, it is a very good thing. Because God says, then you are in the same category of Tychicus, of Paul, of Jude, of James, of Peter, you know, and a lot of other people. Because they go by the term, we are bond servants, not just servants, not just people who do the, you know, church things. We are permanent slaves of the Lord Jesus. Today, as we come before the table of the Lord, I hope each and every one of us, including myself, would have a moment to reflect on our relationship with the Lord God. Am I doing church things so much that I have lost that bond servant relationship, permanent slave relationship with God? And am I so tired that, you know, I'm not able to hear how God wants to run my life? Because all I'm concerned is I want to take care of myself so that I can survive. Maybe God is asking some of us, and this is the perfect time for each and every one of us to come before God and say, God, I have to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm so busy doing ministry that I've forgotten a little bit about the bond servant, the permanent slave part. Or maybe we're telling God that, God, I know I'm a servant, but I'm not quite there yet. But it doesn't matter where we are. Jesus says, you know, as long as you recognize it, I'm here to welcome you. I'm here to walk with you, and I'm here to give you the strength to acknowledge that you are more than my servant, my bond servant, and I'm going to do great things for you and through you. I know a lot of people are praying for our church, so that our church can shine for the Lord Jesus, so keep up with that prayer ministry. But one of the best ways to shine for the Lord Jesus is that, you know, when you see in me, when I see in others, we all see a reflection of the Lord Jesus, the Master. Because you know why? Servants and bond servants, they never count. The only person that is important is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus stands here and said, you know, on this Sunday when you have an opportunity to remember me, my death, my resurrection, and my coming again, what are you going to do with the rest of the time I've given you on earth? What is your identity? Are you my permanent slave or are you not? God have mercy upon us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we ask that you would speak to each and every one of us personally, clearly, and convincingly. If there are questions that we need to ask, we pray that you would give us the grace, the humility to ask, and also to embrace the answers you want us to have. So we ask, O Lord, that you would continue to speak to us, take away all human wisdoms and all human limitations, and let your message, only your message, flow through. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.